Welcome to Season 5 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps Shopify-powered brands to accelerate growth. And now, on to episode 234.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by Okendo, the preferred customer marketing solution for high-growth Shopify brands. Okendo is helping over 4,000 of the fastest-growing retailers, such as Kim Kardashian's underwear label Skims, Nomad, and Buck Mason, to leverage their most powerful asset, their customers. Okendo gives brands all the tools they need to capture and showcase customer-generated content like product ratings and reviews, photos and videos, including Q&A. When you're looking to optimize your buyer's journey, increase the volume and the quality of user-generated content, build a flourishing customer community, or collect valuable first-party customer data, Okendo is here to help you. Okendo is your all-in-one customer command center where you can track, report on, and optimize every aspect of your customer marketing. But they also offer many seamless integrations with the tools that you already use and love, including Klaviyo, Google, and Zendesk, to name a few. Join thousands of Shopify retailers who already use Okendo to build shopper trust and excitement, showcasing customer experiences and compel buying action. Start your 14-day free trial today at okendo.io. That's okendo.io. Well, hey there, it's Steve Hutt, and welcome back to Season 5 of E-Commerce Fastlane. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, if you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, which you likely are since you're here today, you're definitely in the right place. Now, new episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast players like Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream current episodes, including a very relevant back catalog, directly from ecommercefastlane.com. Now, in today's episode, my guest is Ken Ott, who's the co-founder of a company called Metacake. Now, they're a Shopify Plus agency partner. I'll give some links in a few minutes, but it's interesting. They really are a growth team, and they're helping Shopify brands of all sizes, and I'm going to note this, to achieve healthy and long-lasting business growth. It's very specific in the language here, healthy and long-lasting business growth. They've been doing this for over 10 years, and they've also helped a lot of the most influential brands in the world. I've gone to their landing page, both on the Shopify site and on their own. Many case studies, a lot of notable Shopify brands are trusting in their marketing skills. I guarantee you this is going to be a very impactful conversation with a lot of great learnings. I know at the end of the episode, Ken's been very kind to offer a very exclusive listener-only free promotion I know is going to be very valuable for those listening today. So hi, Ken. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Steve, great to be here. That was a beautiful intro. I hope I can live up to that. But yeah, no, it's awesome to be here. It's been a long time coming, actually.
Absolutely, it has been. So I love to always hear it in the founder's own words about the particular challenges and problems that they're solving for Shopify brands. And you notably, you know, stuck your heels in the sand and said, no, okay, this is what we do and this is why we do it well. And we're going to talk about a lot of the basics and things like that that are important for a brand to be successful today in e-commerce. So I just would love to understand about Metacake and problems that you're solving. Just come more on a high level first.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can feel free to kind of direct me and dig into some things. But I would say, you know, like you said, Metacake, our goal is to be an e-commerce growth team to brands of all sizes, really. All right. And so we're sort of a hybrid agency. We'll kind of go into it, but we have our sort of one-on-one agency-like services that are tailored for larger or funded brands. But we also offer coaching and advisory services for internal teams or executives and founders. And we also have a library of education, both paid and free, that can be used for brands of all sizes. especially if you're just starting out. And that's kind of how we kind of help fulfill our mission to really be an e-commerce growth team for lots of different brands and lots of different businesses of different sizes, some of which that we can't even work one-on-one with. And the reason, you know, we kind of come at it from this experience. And so we've been in e-commerce probably almost 20 years, but you know, I've been doing it almost 20 years personally, but we've been there 10 plus years and served brands of all different sizes. And that kind of, we end up having a lot of experience, both on the sort of tactical side of like, what does it mean to market and how do you build a really strong e-commerce store that communicates brand and that converts and does all the technical stuff as well, especially on Shopify Plus. But also we understand it from the business side. And I'll sort of end this little area with, you know, we have a capital arm where we acquire and invest in e-commerce native brands of certain sizes. So we're running and advising real retail businesses that we also own. And so all that kind of lends itself to, we have this experience that we try and leverage to really help grow businesses into brands. And I can dig into that, but you know, we call them brands that matter, brands that like, that actually have great products and do really great business, which is great, give back stuff and that kind of stuff, but just like great products, great business, and that really has a positive impact on the world. So yeah, that's a little bit about Metacake. We've been with Shopify, by the way, I think since 2010 or 2011 or so. And so like one of probably the, I think we were one of the original kind of partners when the program started. We just love Shopify. It's our platform of choice. It's so well built so that you don't have to worry about the things. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but you don't have to worry about the things that you shouldn't have to worry about as a business and a marketer. They just handle that kind of stuff. And where, you know, 15, 20 years ago when we were doing it, it's like, you had if you wanted to be in e-com, it was massively expensive and you had a team of, you know, 50 engineers that would scale up on Black Friday, right, to make sure the website didn't go down. And when you want to run a promotion, you had to go through all these different things to do that. And now it just becomes really easy and sometimes maybe too easy. We forget about, you know, some of the way it was. So anyway, that's a little bit about Metacake. Yeah.
Cool. Cool. This is like, yeah, thanks for sharing that. It's just nice to have a little bit of high level first. Again, just to understand. And it's really interesting that, you know, that you really truly are a hybrid agency. Like I've jotted some notes here, but having coaching and advisory things and education things, and then, you know, and actually putting you and other people's money towards acquisition of, you know, brands that are wanting to scale up, maybe a shared equity model or a complete buyout. There's so many opportunities out there. And I think it almost appears to me that you have like boots on the ground, like you're doing the work, but you also appreciate the work of other people and you might even want to acquire them. So it's interesting how that can all flow together. What's interesting about the Shopify ecosystem kind of in general is just the origin story. I always find very fascinating. You mentioned you've been like doing e-com for like almost 20 years. And so you have a lot of that kind of practical experience, but like, how did all the pieces come together and saying, okay, it's fine that I've done this over here in e-com, both personally and just, you know, kind of doing my thing. But then like, how did it move forward and say, okay, well, like, I want to build a team of people to help others in e-com. And so I just would like to understand how all the expertise and how it all came together into like an actual brand of Metacake.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of grew up, I had the benefit of growing up right in the dot-com boom. I'm certainly not an agency person. That's by no means a bad thing, but I come at it from a slightly different perspective in I grew up building businesses using technology and marketing. And just, I was always infatuated with business and the idea that you could use technology all of a sudden to create the business in just a day. It doesn't mean it's successful, but you can create the concept. You can use technology to put website together, to have a product, to sell things. And it's kind of like traditional business on hyperdrive. Like that was always just so fascinating to me. I think that's the power of that. And so I kind of grew up in that era and fell in love with building businesses and helping businesses leverage technology and sell things. And so I had my first business back in high school and just kind of never looked back from there. And then I guess over time, I actually grew up in New York City. And right now we live in Nashville and we have for 15 years and we're staying here. It's, in my opinion, the best place in the U.S. Right. Although they kick you out if you don't play guitar. So you just have to learn how to play guitar.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. Funny story. Like several people on our team are like very legit touring musicians on the side. that a lot of people probably see on stage, which is part of being in Nashville. But anyway, I was just always infatuated with that stuff. And so when we had the opportunity, back when Medicake was founded, we actually founded around a portfolio of companies. And we had some seed investment, angel investment, we had venture capital, and they were around commerce companies. We were formed to grow that portfolio. And then over time, we began to help brands do the same type of thing. So that's how we were born and founded. And over time, we matured in our agency side of things. And really, we got into, you know, when Shopify came around back in like that 2011 era, really figured out, wow, we don't have to, you know, build this up from scratch. We can leverage a platform and then really put brain power in the business model and the marketing and the brand and the product and all these different areas and not have to sink it into technology. And that just took off, and helping brands kind of leverage that was a big part of what we did for and what we still do for a really long time. And then over time, we have largely the same team over the last 10 plus years, and they consist of sort of deep specialists with a lot of experience, especially with really big brands. I think what that lends itself to is we can often be trusted, you know, or our goal is to be able to be trusted by a brand that's doing $100, $200, $300 million through their website and be able to, that's real money, right? Those people want to know that the people advising them and working on their stuff have real experience and know the importance of it. We take that really seriously, and that's kind of what we've invested into over time.
I want to pivot a bit to a little bit of tactics. I think this is probably a good time to talk about what's hot right now, you know, and I know you talk a lot about, well, it's kind of funny what you talk about, because I've listened to you on other shows and I see some writing and stuff like that. And you say things about, like, you know, boring is hot, right? I wonder if you can kind
said
of explain.
No one ever.
I know, like, but it's just, it's weird, and it's weird but interesting. I think I know where it's going. I think it's getting back to basics. I think a lot of times there's this shiny object syndrome, and there's lots of, like, an app is going to solve my problems, and then you wonder why 3 or 4 years later that you have this duct tape solution, and you wonder why things aren't talking to each other, and you wonder why there's a lot of what ifs to building a successful brand. And I think you bring it down to the ridiculous and say, no, there's some basic things that need to get done. I think that's where this term boring is hot, but I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I just love to hear your concept around this whole thing and explaining, like, what really truly is hot right now.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, to us, boring is hot. That is the hot thing right now. And I would say especially right now, like, that's been our philosophy of this idea of, we call it healthy growth over fast growth. But that's been our philosophy for a long time. And I think it's more important now that potentially than ever. And I'll sort of explain why, but it's the idea of, like you mentioned, it's shiny object syndrome. And there's this, obviously, the rise of, like, growth hacking, all that kind of stuff. And that's not necessarily bad. But what happens is we find in the marketing, especially e-commerce world, you know, there are a lot of hacking your way to growth, because this idea of, like, oh, there's this app, or there's this tactic, or there's this thing, you know, that we can just do. And, you know, I heard someone did this and they got amazing results out of it, so let's do that. That's not to say that that thing's bad. I think there's definitely a place for those, but I think hacking has to have a place inside of a healthy strategy, if that makes sense. I think sometimes it's really, you know, we all do it, like, but it's just really tempting to live hack to hack. And even, you know, really big, mature 100-year-old companies tend to sometimes do that in their e-com side of things. And so boring is hot is doing all the fundamentals, you know. And the truth is, you know, while a hack may produce results, it's not typically going to be the thing that creates a stable, highly profitable, scalable business long term. That takes consistent effort and fundamentals in order to do that. Everyone's kind of looking for shortcuts, and I think there's a place for shortcuts. But the problem is, you know, for instance, Facebook for a long time was, like, the place to get new customers, and it was the easy way to acquire new customers. And so everything centered around Facebook and Facebook hacks and strategies and all kinds of targeting things and whatever else. That's all good. But at the end of the day, if you didn't have a healthy Facebook strategy when Facebook changed some of what they changed with privacy and all that kind of stuff last year, and it was a long time coming, like, a lot of brands saw a massive, massive impact, a negative one, because of that. And if you did, it was probably because you didn't see that coming necessarily. Maybe all your eggs were in the wrong basket. And so I think it's just important to have a healthy strategy. Are we doing the right things for long-term growth? And then, you know, where are the shortcuts that we can take inside of that?
Right. Now, I did more research, obviously, because that's my job as a host. But, you know, one thing
I really get that.
You have to, right? And the thing was, I noticed that you have a very interesting framework that I've not seen articulated in this particular way. And I think for me, it's very important, I think, that we share that with the audience today, because I want to make sure there's some actionable takeaways. The fact that, hey, you know what? I agree with you that, you know, boring is hot. I understand getting back to basics and doing the fundamentals. I think all these things are really important. I totally agree with you when you're saying that, hey, there are places for interesting tools that could help with the overall strategy of what you're trying to achieve. But as long as we're executing well in the basics, and I believe there's a lot of brands that are not executing well in the basics. Trust me, I manage a book of business and I can see things that need to be improved every month on my calls. And that's kind of what my role is, to be a trusted advisor. That's kind of the main thing. I find what you have is quite interesting is this framework. I'd love for you to maybe explain what it is. And then I'd like to understand a little bit, and then people can put themselves, you know, in the shoes of a brand and going, okay, this is where I am now. And then how do I get to the next level? How do I improve? How do I move the needle? And I know this framework that you've created for this healthy growth, I think it's very impactful. So people can pause, be intentional and say, no, I'm here. And how do I go to the next step, the next step and the next step? And so love to learn more for you to share about these different stages.
And I'll be happy to. And in fact, we actually have a 90-day program that walks you through, like if you are a business that wants to create healthy growth, that kind of walk you through this framework. And we could drop links in the show notes to that if we wanted to, but it's really simple. So like the question is like, yeah, like everyone's like, yeah, I want to be healthy, right? Just like in physical fitness, right? Like I want to be fit and healthy and live a long life. Awesome. But that means, you know, I can't eat what I want to eat all the time, all that kind of stuff, right? So it's the doing of it that's hard. And it's, you know, making sure that you can still enjoy life. Like obviously, you could live a long life, you know, and only eat salad, but like that may not be enjoyable. So it's that balance. And so what we've tried to do is over the years put together this little framework, and we call it the 3x3 framework. And so it's how do you kind of implement and achieve healthy growth? And so in our world, and actually in the e-commerce world, we break it down to three key systems. And so the first key system to any e-commerce business or any DTC business is acquisition. And so you have to get your acquisition system healthy and functional, right? There's the acquisition system. Then there's the conversion system, which is taking, you know, obviously someone who's a prospect and actually converting them into a buyer. And that has several steps inside of it. And that obviously your website and your e-commerce store is a big part of that. The third system is what we call maximization. And this is one that I find rarely gets focused on, and it really is the leverage for real growth. And any global brand that's been around for a really long time has really like mastered the maximization. And what maximization is that is taking someone from a one-time purchase and maximizing them, right? So like you got a customer, often say like getting a customer is the finish line for maybe some people, but that's the starting line, right? Like getting a customer, then you have to take them from a customer. You really want a fan. You really want a multi-purchaser fan for life. That's what you want, right? And so that's maximization. That's what we call that. So I have these three systems, and we have, you know, tactics and hacks and all these kind of things inside of the systems. And that's kind of the place for those hacks, is to do that. And then the other side of the three is for each one of the systems, we take it through three stages. That we have this kind of discipline of stage one is stabilize. And so it's, you know, let's take acquisition for an example, right? Your acquisition system, let's do an assessment and let's figure out where all the duct tape is. When we started, you know, we duct tape a bunch of things, right? Because we're not sure this is a business yet and we want to get to viability. And right at some point you have to remove that duct tape. But the challenge is if you don't take the time to do that and you just keep moving, that can tank you in the future. Aside from duct tape, there's a bunch of vulnerabilities potentially, right? Like, oh, wow, 80% of our acquisition comes from just Facebook. That is a vulnerability. What if Facebook goes away? I mean, just if you're in e-commerce business right now, ask yourself the question, like, what if Facebook went away tomorrow? What would I do? Would I be able to live and be even a business anymore? That's a good question to ask, right? So let's stabilize. It's like assess everything, and take note and figure out, okay, let's prioritize what we're going to do. What are the big vulnerabilities? What are the things that can be done in the future? And then the second stage is optimize. And so here we're looking for quick wins that fund the long-term growth. And so when we do our assessment, we may see a bunch of low-hanging fruit, right, that we can quickly sort of fix, and maybe even some opportunities that we can growth hack inside of that system. So with acquisition, right, you may be looking at how can we leverage other platforms really quickly, right? If we're all on Facebook, like how do we quickly test other platforms? Maybe we can get a more stable Facebook strategy. Maybe we start doing YouTube. There's a multitude of things you can do there. And then in the third step, this is, we call it strengthen. And this is where you're really looking at the future and doubling down on the future. And so you're doing things like, really, you've got the funds because you've kind of gone through this process and you've optimized some things. You've gotten low-hanging fruit. You have the funds to invest into maybe trying out, you know, again, we're looking at acquisition system. Maybe we're investing in a channel that may not have immediate return, but we think if we could figure this out, would be really good for diversifying our marketing channels. You know, things like R&D, like developing our product line, that might go into strengthen and so on. And so we kind of take each one of those three systems and we kind of look at it in those three stages. That's kind of how we break that down.
Yeah, I like that. So just for clarity, again, I wrote some notes here. So there's the acquisition system, the conversion system, and then there's the maximization system. When the maximization, I'm thinking more like retention and lifetime value. Hence why there's, you know, retention managers on teams, because I think smart e-com brands actually realize the fact that exactly you're right with what's going on with Facebook right now and this cookieless future and iOS updates and privacy policies. It's so interesting what's going on with ROAS. It's quite expensive now and it's really changed, and it's unfortunately a blended ROAS is about the only way that people can say, well, we spent this much money equals this much revenue and how do we attribute it all? Well, and that's where it's really challenging versus the retention manager's job to think about, and that's exactly what you're doing here, is you're giving a system and a process and stages to think about in the retention side of the business. And I think that there's a model out there, I don't know if it's RFM, this recency frequency monetization, understanding the cohorts of your existing customers that are active or that are at risk or that potentially are going to churn, and trying to figure out, it's an interesting challenge of how to figure out to have the right playbook of how to interact with a customer based on their life cycle in the brand, but it's getting that second sale or the third sale. It's quite interesting.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I don't think in my experience, a lot of people think about their e-commerce business in those three systems, but those three systems are not only e-commerce related. But if you can kind of start to think about that way, then it starts to allow you to take strategies to improve them. And really, like you said, like that maximization bucket, that's where you go from having your growth capped to really being able to scale your brand and your business. And you figure that out really well. That does a lot of things for your business.
So I'm going to make sure I put some links in the show notes. I think there's lots of really neat things. I know you have this 90-day kind of program and kind of this healthy growth challenge that you have. And so I'll put some details for that so people are interested in, yes, I want to grow my brand, but I want to do it in a healthy, consistent way for long-term building purposes. So I'll make sure I put links to that. I'm also thinking a little bit about, you mentioned about back to basics, and I kind of understand that. And there are some mission critical things, the foundational things that are important. I think those are table stakes in e-com today. But is there anything else that maybe we can chat about outside of the foundational things that you believe could be impactful today for a brand?
Yeah. And some of these things are going to be like obvious. I'll name two real quick, but one is diversifying your marketing channels. Like if you're an e-com business, unfortunately, a lot have been hit hard already by a lot of the Facebook and privacy changes and Google changes and those kind of things that have happened over the last year and 2 years. But that's super important, right? Most e-commerce businesses live on that direct advertising. I think diversifying to own channels, or even just balancing and transitioning to own channels, is critical. And own channels would be things like email marketing, you know, affiliate marketing, influencers, ambassadors, those kind of things. But just let's take email. We do a lot of strategy and management of e-commerce email programs. And it's our philosophy that email should be about 30% or more of your revenue should come through your email program. And most brands are a lot less than that. We've seen it be a lot higher. And honestly, the higher it can be, the better. Some think email is dead. Some think email is booming. It doesn't matter. If I want to own my destiny as a business, you know, what marketing channel can I own? Really, one of the only ones is email, right? Where you don't have to pay per send, you know, and owning the customer data is important. That's been the case for years and years before e-commerce even existed. Like your business worth is really your customer database. And so if you think about, I'll ask this question, like who knows more about your customer, you or Facebook? Wow. If it's Facebook, which it probably is.
Yeah, it probably is based on all their data points. So they know.
With their data points, right.
Correct.
That's obviously, you're not going to necessarily need to know more than Facebook, but do you even know the basics, and are they in your customer database, and can you talk to your customers and your non-customers, right? Because through email, like, we emphasize a lot on the pre-purchase experience in email. Can you talk to those people and really build a relationship, get people to buy over and over again, you know, get people to become fans of your brand and have something to talk about with them? If you can develop a channel like that is really important because it's owned and it doesn't cost money every time you send it. Building your brand and having a purpose is also critical. And that sounds cliche, so I'm happy to dig into it because it's more than just being cliche, but that's the other thing I had in my mind.
Yeah. No, and I think it's interesting, though, because when I think about this, too, I don't necessarily have this sort of framework, but I definitely think about some of the basics. I also think about, like, the next steps of the long-term value of the brand. And a lot of times I pull back and go, okay, like, what are you known for? Like, what makes you unique? And I think this is all part of maybe almost a business case for building a brand. Like, what's their purpose? What's the why? I mean, on my wall, I have a big sign on my wall that says, remember your why. Starring purpose, humility, and goals. Like, that is like the number one reason why people want to buy. They want to understand, is there, like, what's the emotional connection to the brand? And if you don't have that, if you don't have a mission, or if you don't have some kind of, like, philanthropy, if you don't have some kind of a social or environmental cause around your brand, I mean, that's what really helps differentiate yourself. It's a very noisy e-com world out there, and there's a lot of copycats, but there's one way that I believe you can really differentiate. And I kind of talk a lot with my brands and in their early stages, saying, like, what are you known for right now? I mean, like, okay, great, you're a coffee replacement company and you mix it up in the morning. You do your thing. Okay, fair enough. Maybe to get off caffeine, but, like, other than that, like, where's the product sourced from? And what's the story behind that? Because people want to buy into that in today's market, right? So,
well, you mentioned the business case for building a brand. And I think that for a lot of leaders, especially, you know, C-level, there needs to be a business case for doing anything. And for a long time, you know, you might even think building a brand is like kind of a intangible, nice to have, like, you know, that touchy-feely thing, you know, that'd be nice if we did, but we need to sell product, you know, right? If you think about it like that, I would love to shift your mind for a second, right? If anyone listening thinks about it that way, because if you think about your product and what you sell, right? You mentioned it, Steve, like, anyone can rip that off. You can have a patented up and all kinds of protection, all that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter. Like, does anyone remember TiVo? Right?
I do, but yeah.
Yeah, I remember TiVo. It was like you could record live TV and skip the commercials. I'm assuming they had patents and all kinds of things, right? But then, you know, the cable companies started doing it and TiVo went away. I'm not saying that's unavoidable, but if you think about it, like, as cool as your product is, as powerful as it is, that is not the competitive barrier. It's not going to be your competitive advantage. Your competitive advantage, if it's your brand, is much harder to rip off. What knockoff of Apple can really hold a candle to Apple? I'm talking about like an actual knockoff, right? Other people create laptops, all that kind of stuff, but there's only one Apple. And even if people copy Apple, Apple still is Apple. And so the business case for building that brand, the question becomes how you do that. There's a process for doing that, but building that brand is important. And then you mentioned your why. And so starting, you know, where does the nugget, the soul of the brand come from? It has to be your why. Again, that can be seen as cliche, right? Simon Sinek, Start With Why, amazing book. Most people have listened to the TED Talk and maybe even read the book. Most people understand it. If you haven't read that or listened to it, you probably should, but most people understand it. But here's why it's important. Like, if you understand your why, and I think for some brands, like, we do a lot of kind of advising for obviously e-commerce businesses and brands in this stage where they're actually trying to develop a brand. For some, they feel like, okay, we have to have a why that's like very socially oriented and give back and all that kind of stuff. And that is all very, very good. But I would even say, Steve, you can debate me on this, it doesn't even have to be that. In fact, if you start with that, it's probably, for most brands, it's not genuine if they start with that. Like, your why doesn't necessarily, to build a great brand, have to be socially oriented. It just has to be genuine. Like, why did you start this company? Why is this product so important and what's the story behind it? Like, you have a story behind it, right? Like, every great product has a story as to why it came about. And so you build a brand around that, and brand becomes aspirational. And that's a big part of why people purchase products. People purchase, take action based on emotion, and they make decisions with information. And so we have to create that emotion. Like, that emotion is generally aspirational, right? Think about when you want something or when you buy something, the process you go through. I just went through it with the new MacBook. I'm an Apple fan, but like, and most people are, right? But like, I want that MacBook. Like, they create the emotion that I just want it. There's not logic in wanting it necessarily at that stage. You just want it. Like, a new car is the same kind of thing, right? Like, you feel that want, that desire, that has to be there. It's actually the more powerful thing. And then all the other stuff, the features and benefits and everything, all that stuff is really just backing up the person's logical side of their brain so that they can actually rationalize buying it. But a lot of brands, a lot of e-commerce brands, like, just live in that world. Anyway, it transitions into your marketing clearly, but having a brand, suffice to say, is, I think, a big part of having a competitive advantage in the space. You may not be able to create that from day one, but you can create the temples of that, and you could just like make that consistent across everything you do and keep investing into it as you grow.
Yeah, I would agree with that, because I think those listening today, that if you don't really have a brand story, maybe you're just still drop shipping right now. Maybe you're just trying to get product market fit and kind of how you fit. It's never too late to keep iterating and or choosing a path and having a story and documenting it and having on the website, and, you know, align that with, you know, your brand voice, colors, designs, your concept, like just everything around your brand. It's so interesting where a lot of brands don't have that. I love how you mentioned your competitive advantage by having that, because then people want to get behind a brand. I mean, I think about even the influencer side of the business. Like, we talk about this multi-channel world and not putting all your eggs in the Facebook basket. It's the same kind of concept when it comes to influencers. Do you just want to pay influencers to kind of show off your product? Or do you want to find out people that already purchase your products, that already love your brand, want to work with you, or you find out their social footprint is big enough that, hey, I wouldn't mind working with this person in some capacity because they're already a customer? And so it's an interesting way of thinking about it, you know. And so I just want to throw that out there, that it's never too late to tweak or build on what your why is and what you want to be known for in the industry, in whatever market that you're involved in.
Absolutely. And I mean, if I may, I'll say, if you were to translate that over to your, let's translate it to practical, like into your website, right? Into your e-commerce store. There are 5 steps you can take. Number one, tell your story. And you can do that really simply. You can do that on a page. Also throughout, think of the homepage, right? There's a strategy for how you tell that story through the homepage. You don't overwhelm the customer, but you tell your story. Second is, you know, then you communicate. So you've created the motion. Now you start communicating benefits and value proposition, right? So that's the logical side, the rational side. And you're just doing that throughout. This is part of the strategy. Third, now we have to build trust, right? So now someone wants it, they can see how it's rational in their life, but do I trust you? And so building trust, obviously customer reviews, what other people say about you is a critical part of that, but it's not just customer reviews. It's also being on a platform. You know, sometimes people discount anyone puts their credit card in anything. Well, that's not true. Like, you know, being on a platform like Shopify, like making sure that it's stable and trustworthy and your design of your store actually looks trustworthy, right? Because that's a big part of it. So building that trust. 4, you can eliminate the risk, or you want to eliminate the risk with an irresistible offer. And that's things like price plus warranty, guarantee. Maybe it's your customer service philosophy. If you can eliminate that risk, then now you've got this irresistible offer. You're sort of building on this. That's step 4. And then number 5 is you want your website and your marketing just to get out of the way and be really easy. Okay. Right. Yeah. So yeah, that's how you go from, like, in our world, like, simple 5 steps from going from, like, how do I implement a brand onto, you know, something like my website? What does that mean? That's how we do it.
Beautiful. I can make a little pivot to a story now. I think it's, I don't know, it's very aspirational when I, you know, hear what other brands have done. This podcast, I do a lot of interviews with agency partners like yourself in the Shopify world, and a lot of SaaS kind of apps that connect to Shopify, or even marketing platforms that connect to Shopify. And it's so interesting. They always have a story typically, and hopefully I don't put you on the spot here, but it would be great if you could kind of talk a little bit about how a brand maybe found Medicake? Like, what was their life before Medicake? They found you and then you implemented something with them. I don't know what that is yet. And then what happened on the other end? It'd be nice to kind of walk us through, because there's people listening today in the show and saying, hey, you know what? I don't have an agency partner right now. And this resonates with me about these different levels of how I can build a brand, this acquisition and conversion and the maximization systems you have. It's so interesting. And there's, and I've seen the case studies on your website, even on Shopify's landing pages on the plus side of the business. I can see the case studies that are there. Since we're on a podcast, I don't know if you could maybe share one story around a brand that you have worked closely with and kind of what sort of results came out on the other end.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy to. And obviously, I mean, I think it goes without saying that any success story has a lot of different factors inside of it. The story that comes to mind is there's a brand called Groove Life. And they actually started selling, they're one of the first two silicone ring brands, you know, and we don't have probably enough time to get into it, but like there are tons of silicone ring brands, tons of silicone rings, and silicone ring brands may not be the case for them. And Groove is still the top and one of the top. A big part of that, I would say 90% is their brand. And so that is one kind of example of the business case. But yeah, they actually came in, the founder was just reached out to us cold based on what we had done. Typically, people come into our world through needing something. Like a website is often like your e-commerce store built on, again, we do a lot of Shopify Plus. That's typically how people come into our world, but you know, maybe through marketing or something else. But he came in through that lens and he had just launched Kickstarter. The company was just a few months old and they had done a few $100,000 or something like that. We still worked together. That was 2016. We wrapped around them and he had a great vision, a great product, an amazing leadership ability, and a really, really, really strong why. There are these factors that I think you need to be successful, and I think that's one of them. But over the course of 3 years, we ended up hitting over eight figures, and now we're about to cross nine. So we went from about, you know, 300K to over eight figures in the course of about 3 years. There are some things that I learned, because most people listening to something like that is like, great, cool, how do I do that? And I would say this. So for Medicake, like we did everything with them. We managed and redesigned and built all the store website. We had a bunch of cool programs that we launched that were like, one of the barriers to entry for rings purchases is sizing. And so people don't know their ring size. You can print out all the things that you want, but at the end of the day, they have printable sizing guides and those kind of things, but those don't really work. And so we're like, how do we remove that barrier to entry? So we built this try-on program, kind of like Warby Parker, where you could order, I think, five sizes and you send back what doesn't fit and you get charged only for that one thing. And so that wasn't Shopify native. So we built that all custom and that kind of thing and brought it back into Shopify. But so we did all this web stuff, but at the end of the day, I mean, we managed marketing and really created a lot of strategy and advisory and on the business and budgeting side, you know, because again, our world is not just in these marketing and tech buckets. Like we're in the kind of business side of how do we make this thing work? We did a lot of that type of stuff. But at the end of the day, like there are a few factors I think that really made it successful. I'll run through them real fast. Like one, brand. Think about silicone rings. Like you can buy, don't quote me on this, but like you can get like 10 for like $5 on Amazon, right? So there's tons of knockoffs. We built heavily into the brand and there was a reason people purchased from them. Now our product was higher quality. We did have some differentiators, but at the end of the day, like what we were about really is what won out over time. Second thing is product line, because you can't live on just one product. And so really quickly, we started investing into additional products. For Groove, it was creating active products, products that would allow an active person to not be held down by, you know, whatever the apparel that they have. And so rings, and we've got belts, and we've got watch bands and things. So those two things were critical, because if you don't invest into those two things, you really can flame out. Like you might be able to be a blip, but it's hard to be a long-term scaling brand. We took some risks on video before video was a big thing in YouTube, and that actually got us really great wins. And I think there's still opportunity in YouTube and video because it's hard to get into, which makes it more opportunistic. Marketing from the top down versus looking at ROAS and worrying about ROAS. We generally look at marketing ad spend as a percent of revenue, and we have sort of a balance that we'd like to see that within. And so not getting caught up in the attribution weeds, which is, by the way, a worthless effort. I mean, it's good to look at, but it's just, you're going to be spinning in circles. We had a great offer. So we had this idea of like, you know, basically a lifetime warranty. Like you break it, you lose it, you don't like the color, you were climbing Mount Everest and your finger fell off because it was frozen and you lost it, like we'll give it back to you. You know, just send us an email. So we had that. And the reason we could do that is because we had built the economics of the product such that there was enough margin to do that, which is critical. Email was really, really big, especially in customer lifetime value. And so we really invested a lot into email and also played a role in building the brand, that it was a critical part. And then I'll just end with the belief, the purpose and belief of the founder. You know, again, like we wrapped around him, and that is typically the case. The business has to have the soul that's going to be successful. And so, you know, it's like you want to get fit, right? Let's say you're grossly unfit and you want to become fit. Like you have to find a great trainer, coach who has the ability and knowledge and the experience to do that. That's what we aspire to be for brands. But you still have to have the conviction, commitment within you to want it and to be able to do it, right? I think it was Zig Ziglar that says, you can't hire someone to do your own pushups, right? So at the end of the day, yeah. Right, the expert is really, really important at giving you the framework and helping you through it and helping you tackle all the things and motivating and inspiring and all those things. But you still have to be able to commit and have a reason to commit. And that was a big part with Groove. And so
this is lovely. Like, thanks for sharing that. And I'm even on the groovelife.com website right now. I'll put the link in the show notes. It's quite an impressive site that really showcases, and I know video, and it looks like there's even some 3D rendered animations and things that really tell the story visually. All the basic things that brand needs that not all have. Notice too, I'm talking about their value prop and their warranty, which you mentioned, you know, break it, lose it, and we'll replace it. Like there's no BS warranty. I just love the fact that they really get into their story. Born in Alaska and built in Tennessee, and they're very specific about what they do. And you can learn more about the whole story behind Groove Life, the warranty, the breathability, and kind of like how it works and all the, it's very refreshing when I look at this site. I've not been here in a while. It was quite a while back I looked at it, but now that you mentioned it, it's just like, wow. And it's nice how they've made slight pivots into other verticals too, outside of the silicone rings, and think, okay, there's the watch band opportunity here through Apple Watches, or there's opportunity to get into the belt market. These are all complementary products that I know people would see value in. Once you get kind of hooked on one, it goes back to your maximization system again. How do we build that lifetime value, this retention marketing around a brand? And so they got a lot of these checks and balances are in play. And thanks to your team, they've done just a phenomenal job. And it's very clear their growth is just incredible. So the website proves it. So kudos to you and the team.
Like I say again, like Groove has an amazing product and a great founder and leadership, which is critical. All the roles that we play are helping to leverage that. And yeah, but you mentioned the product line. That's just so important from going, you end up hitting a ceiling and you need to diversify. So you create an ecosystem for your brand versus just a one product brand.
I believe they have a customer in me coming up. I've actually just told my wife, I said, I think I need a new belt. And I'm like, well, where are you going to shop for
a belt? They're
the
best belts.
I know. They look
great. Did an amazing job. It's an amazing belt. You should definitely get it. I'll get you a code
on it, I think, after done recording today. So I would love to chat before we kind of wrap up for today, but I just would like to understand the future. I mean, I know of Medicaid because I'm always... It's interesting to me that you've been in this industry a very long time. You're a tenured Shopify Plus agency partner. So you're, you know, at the top of the food chain of a small group of talented people that have been approved to be and can work with the Shopify Plus world. You do work with other SMBs too, maybe on the core plans. But, you know, it seems like your sweet spot is very clearly in the mid-market to enterprise. So knowing that, I just would love to understand, what is your North Star, if you have one, for the remainder of 22? And because what I want to do is understand your current range of services and things you have. We talk about this, you have these coaching options, and there's lots of education, and there's this capital available. I just would like to truly just make sure I'm clear about, this is what you do today. Is there anything that aspirationally you're considering and going to implement for the rest of this year? And then could that be valuable to those listening today?
Yeah, I will try and break it down as simply. There's three basic areas. You know, for me, like, my mission in life is to maximize what I've been given in this world. So my position, you know, whatever that may be, knowledge, experience, resources, like I have a push in me to try and make the best with that and do the most with it and create positive and good as well. So that flows into Metacake. Our goal is to work to our mission of becoming like the go-to e-commerce growth team if you believe in our philosophies, right? And so there's great partners out there. I'm friends with all of them. Everyone has a certain specialization, and ours is in the experience category. And if you agree with our philosophies on how we grow businesses and how we do things, you know, we're disciplined and we have a strong approach with those kind of things. And that's the type of brand that works well with us. And so what that means is we have, in the first area, we have one-on-one services. And so those are for mid to large, you know, enterprise and or funded businesses, so funded startups and those kind of things. And we do website development, so your Shopify Plus store, all that type of stuff, design development. We work in that world. That obviously one of the most important, I mean, clearly it, in the marketing, the customer journey, that's the most important part, right? That has to work really, really well. It has to communicate all the right things, obviously functionally work well, all those kind of things. So we do a lot there, a lot of migrations and optimization, that kind of thing. We also do a lot in the marketing strategy and services there. So email marketing, paid marketing strategy, you know, growing that lifetime value, that's big. So that's our one-on-one services if you're the right size. We also have education. The second area is education and programs. And so we have a lot of free and paid programs. Some of those are books. And, you know, if you go to store.metacake.com, you can see some books that we've written. They're called growth guides. They're small growth guides. We also do programs, like we have an e-commerce boot camp, which we run anyone from starting businesses through. We've actually had teams of corporate businesses like send their marketing teams through. So we have those kind of things, and those can serve any size business. That's our educational side. And then the third is our capital arm. And we call that DOE because we're Metacake and capital arm is DOE. And so that is DOE.capital. And we're partnering with e-commerce brands that have positive traction. And maybe you're in that $1 to $50 million range. I know that's a big span, but that's kind of like the range that we partner with. We wrap around them. Again, if it's right, invest, acquire, and scale, and exit. And so those are the three ways that we're doing, trying to fulfill our mission.
Lovely. Well, thank you for sharing that. Once again, all of these are going to be in the show notes. I didn't realize about the store dot, because that's really cool with some, I love some of these.
We've got to have our own Shopify store.
Absolutely you do. I love the e-commerce cookbook you have, these growth guides, and some brand wild too. And all the ways you grow. It's like, it's pretty neat. You have some really neat stuff, and even you have your own merch. So that makes a lot of sense.
It's the most comfortable t-shirt you'll ever wear. Guaranteed. You don't like it, you send it back.
I might pull the trigger on that also. So just before we go today, I guess we're going to send people to metacake.com. Will be kind of, I guess, the primary location. I know we have some, you have a lot of educational articles and things like that. I'll make sure all those links go in there. I know that just before recording today that I guess you mentioned you'd like to offer, I guess, a listener-only bonus or a promotion. I don't know if you, maybe this would be a good time to tell our listeners all about what's available.
Absolutely. I would love to. And so, like I said, we spend a lot of time in the strategy of the customer experience and building websites that communicate that, do all the things that we said, Shopify stores. So what we've created is what we call the perfect e-commerce website. And it is a more than 70 pages PDF that goes through every one of the key core pages in your e-commerce experience, from your homepage, collection pages, product detail pages, you know, even to blogs, which you may think, oh, just blogs. So there's a strategy. It talks about the strategy for each one, what you really want to be doing, what you want to be communicating. And then it actually gives a wireframe for each one. And so you can see the elements that you can kind of like almost pick and choose from. Like, so if you're thinking about redesigning, or if you're thinking about replatforming to Shopify, or if you're, you know, wondering, hey, we're having a conversion issue, you know, you can take this. And again, e-commerce gods didn't give this to us and say, this is the formula for success. This is our experience, what we've experienced in 10 plus years, formula for success. And it's actually really just doing certain things in the right order in your e-commerce experience. And so we're giving that away. That's a paid resource that we sell. We're giving it away to e-commerce Fastlane listeners. And I would love feedback on it, because we put a lot of effort into it. It's our playbook for how we build the strategy, how we build websites. And so, yeah, we'll, I guess, include a link in the description, in the show notes. Is that right, yeah, Steve?
Definitely. I have a landing page. So it'll be ecommercefastlane.com/Medicake. That's going to redirect to your landing page with this offer to get access to, I'm going to call it an epic piece of content, the perfect e-commerce website. It's nice how it's all broken down. I've seen some of the parts of it. It's quite interesting how it all breaks it down. And there are ways of like practically looking at each section one at a time and going, well, how does it compare to what I'm currently doing? And is there room for improvement? And the answer is yes. There's always something that you can improve upon the customer journey. And I think I thank you so much for offering that. It's an amazing takeaway for those listening today. And I just, you know, once again, thanks, Ken, for coming on the show. I'm excited, kind of like, you know, you just continue in your journey. I know that you're doing amazing work, and it's very clear that you're a very trusted partner for Shopify brands. It's very clear your knowledge and your vision of how you want to continue helping brands. It's nice that you're in all areas. You're not focused in silos. You really are in the education and the giving part, both paid and free. It's interesting, advising and just capital. You're dabbling in lots of different areas, but I think that's important because I think you have a holistic view of kind of like what success actually looks like over the years. And just want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing. And I hope we have some new brands that are now have never heard of Medicake, now know of what you're all about. Start with this guide, and that may open up some doors of some new customers that you may be able to work with and help them grow their brands on Shopify. So
yeah, I mean, I super appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me on. It was so much fun. I could talk about this for hours. And yeah, it may sound like we are in a lot of areas, but I believe like to really influence like actual growth in business, like you have to understand more than one area. And so I think that's a big part of being able to just to do what we do and kind of advise and implement inside of businesses. And so, yeah, absolutely. If anyone likes what they hear from us or would like to talk or has a question or has a problem that they think, you know, whatever it is, or feedback, you know, please reach out to me, reach out to my team. I'm on social at I am Ken Ott, IamKenOtt.
Yeah.
I almost spelled my own name wrong, huh? You know, Medicake.com. But yeah, just reach out to us. And if we can help you add value, we absolutely will. And if we can't, we will direct you the way we would see most fit.
Yeah, so beautiful. All right. Well, thank you so much, Ken, and have yourself a great afternoon.
Steve, thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Today's episode was brought to you by Okendo, the preferred customer marketing solution for high growth Shopify brands. Okendo provides all the tools you need to leverage your most valuable asset, your customers, build shopper trust and excitement, showcase customer experiences, and compel buying action with a little help from Okendo. Start your free trial today at okendo.io. That's okendo.io. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.